1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The government this morning reports on spring quarter gross domestic product growth, how much the economy expanded.
The survey of economists by Dow Jones Newswires and the Wall Street Journal says today's report should show the economy grew at an annual pace of 2.2%, down from the 3.4% reading the quarter before. That would indicate the economy is slowing a bit, but consumers are still spending at a healthy rate.
ABC's Daria Albinger. A Las Vegas jury convicted former local politician Robert Tellis of murdering investigative journalist Jeff German, blaming him for his political demise. The jury sentenced Tellis to life in prison with parole possible after 20 years. January 6th insurrectionist Dan Edwin sentenced to 5 years in the penitentiary. Prosecutors say the Kentucky electrician communicated with other right-wing extremists while they were all assaulting the Capitol January 6, 2021. This is ABC News. A flight they won't soon forget. ABC's Alex Stone tells the tale.
The United Airlines Boeing 737-900 was flying from Cancun to Chicago when over Louisiana the plane hit severe turbulence. The pilots diverted to Memphis. United says the plane hit a short period of turbulence. At least six people were hurt, all with minor injuries. Paramedics met the plane when it landed in Memphis. One person went to a hospital. There were 182 people on board. United says it happened while the seatbelt sign was on. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Separately, labor pains in the friendly skies. The union representing flight attendants at United announced that 99.99% of the membership voted to authorize a strike. First time in 20 years they've done so. After walking away from federally mandated negotiations, the union will ask for a 30-day cooling-off period, setting a potential strike deadline. And, of course, Congress and the president could stop or stall a strike. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
We ate so much wild game. I mean, every Sunday was rabbit, partridge, fish, venison.
That's cool.
Yeah,
That
was not believable.
Wow.
We did not do that.
Cool.
We did
not.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WIS. Crude and Dom.
Donald Trump will be in La Crosse on Thursday evening for a town hall, and Crute will be on site in anticipation of the festive gala. Be here for the greatest radio show ever.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a chance of scattered thunderstorms this afternoon into tonight with some locally heavy rain possible, a half inch to an inch or more in spots. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy, muggy, 78 today, but it is going to get much better for the weekend. Much more comfortable, lots of sunshine right on through Labor Day. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Save communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll talk about Jack Smith's new superseding indictment against Donald Trump, and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joins us. He's now with Civic.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Town Life Celebration Center.
Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Thursday morning. Glad to have cooled off from earlier this week. We've just got to get through some possible storm action, and then we'll have bright skies ahead for the Labor Day weekend. We'll get you your forecast details later in the hour from our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Our own Ben Jarbo has been dodging a few raindrops this week as he's been on the road covering field days and other events. He made it out to yesterday's field day at the Arlington Research Station. They talked a lot about soil health. He also took a tour of UW's hemp plots in Arlington this week. We'll hear more about that later in the hour. Today, he's going to head to Lancaster for the Stockmanship and Stewardship Workshop put on for beef producers. And our friends at EverEgg will join us at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to ask Ryan Yonkman to look in his crystal ball and tell us if dairy producers can look forward to higher prices through the end of the year. We'll see what he has to say. The fun doesn't stop there. Later this morning, we've got a giveaway coming up before the market report. You're going to want to pay attention on how to win tickets to Titletown. Stay tuned.
Here comes Labor Day weekend, that last gasp of summer. For me, it's time to amp up the grilling experience. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for Bavaria Sausage, located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrunner Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturdays, 9 until 1. And open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Online, BavariaSausage.com. Don't forget, check out their Facebook page as well. And know that they are working on a fantastic new website they should unveil pretty soon. Tell you what, in Wisconsin, we grill year-round. And now with the football season on the horizon, you want to make sure that you're changing up your flavors on that grill from time to time. How about taking a look at the new Cajun brat available at Bavaria Sausage? Don't forget, we've got the tried and true red lager brat. Whatever flavor you're looking for, Bavaria Sausage has something you're going to like. Again, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, and always open at BavariaSausage.com.
Rural banks are hoping to get a bill through Congress that would give them some tax relief. And in doing so, they say they could lower costs for their rural customers. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. The American Bankers Association is leading the charge. Ed Elfman is their senior vice president of agriculture and rural banking. He says this bill is called the Acre Act. Now, Wisconsin already has a version of this at the state level, but Ed says that this national bill would expand and strengthen the program to lower costs for farmers and rural residents.
Yeah, so the Acre Act is short for the Access to Credit for Our Rural Economy Act. It's in both the House and the Senate, so it is a bicameral bill, and it's a bipartisan bill, which is really great, especially in this congressional environment. But what the Acre Act does is it reduces interest rates for rural landowners, especially on the farmland side, timberland, all those types of things. Rural homeowners, if you're in a town of less than 2,500 or an open country, and aquaculture. And it does that by removing the taxation on income earned from interest on those types of loans.
So this bill directly impacts the bank, but you're saying that in turn, it would also benefit the bank's customers.
Exactly. By lowering the cost for the bank to put the loan together, it will lower the cost to have, or the cost of an interest rate, essentially. Our analysis shows that it will lower costs 50 to 150 basis points on interest rates. And in this high interest rate environment, that makes a lot of sense to us. We've really been talking about this policy for 20, 25 years, but we didn't have the rising interest rate environment we have now. And it made a lot of sense to really start pushing the ACRE Act to going forward to make sure that farmers and ranchers can see the benefits they need to see in the lending environment.
It sounds like you've also made the effort to put in some stipulations or requirements on who can benefit. Towns of a certain size, for example. So you've made the effort to center this around rural America. Can you tell me more about that?
With the ACRE Act, we wanted to make sure that it was a rural-focused bill and a farmer, rancher, rural homeowner-focused piece of legislation. You always got to be careful with legislation that doesn't become too broad or it doesn't bring in groups that really shouldn't benefit. So we really tried to narrow the scope, keeping it to farmland. And farmland is a pretty broad definition. You have timberland, you have ranch land, you have basically anything that falls under USDA's definition of farmland. But on the housing side, we wanted to make sure that housing was included because housing costs aren't coming down. And in rural America, we got to make sure that people are coming back to these communities and living in these communities. So we really wanted to narrow the scope, keep it to smaller towns. And 2,500 was a good number to use because that's used in by other lenders across the system. So we didn't really want to create anything that hasn't been out there before, but we wanted to make sure that the benefits that we see at other lending areas carries over to the banking side as well, which ultimately benefits farmers and ranchers and rural homeowners. Anything you can do to lower interest rates right now is a good idea.
I know the American Bankers Association was thinking about not just new agricultural clients or rural clients, but current clients. Do you expect that the ACRE Act will not only encourage people to start or expand an ag operation, but also to be able to continue an existing one?
Yeah, so I think that's the important thing to remember with ACRE. Existing loans would qualify. Now, there's a process that would have to go in place and some things the bank would have to do to make sure that existing loans are brought under this umbrella, but all future loans would qualify as well. And to us, ACRE is really part of the solution, right? We have a potential economic downturn coming in ag right now. We're trying to get a farm bill done. Well, that's half the equation to get the farm bill side done, make the beginning farmer programs better, all those types of things. ACRE is the other half of the solution. So when you get a farm bill finished and you have some things done at USDA, now you put ACRE on top of it. And for beginning farmers and ranchers, this will really drive down their cost of getting into the business, getting into ag. And it's not getting any cheaper, unfortunately. So we have to make sure that we have tools like this in the toolbox for our lenders to use.
To your point, interest rates are still high. Farming doesn't get less expensive, but these issues are putting some momentum on the ACRE Act. The American Bankers Association, you guys recently testified to the House Ag Committee on the farm economy. Can you tell us what the financial situation is today that this ACRE Act could alleviate?
Yeah, so USDA is predicting a 27% downfall in farm income over the next year. And we as bankers really see this early on. We do a lot of operating loans that are year to year. So we're already feeling the effects of where the ag economy is going. So we wanted to make sure at that hearing that we elaborated on those points, right? That we're seeing it, we're feeling it, we're paying attention to it. To us, you add the ACRE Act in and you start to lower those costs for farmers and ranchers. That's really big when you have a potential economic downturn coming. You have to help them improve their cash flow, make margins a little bit better, and ACRE is definitely a way to get there.
You said this is both bicameral and bipartisan. So what is the appetite among our congressional members to get this passed, especially when we're up against an election and the farm bill conversations are still going on?
Yeah, timing is not ideal right now for a lot of reasons. Like you said, election's coming up. We're trying to get farm bill done. There are 67 co-sponsors on the House side. There's 4 on the Senate side. We've really got to work it through the process. We have to have hearings. We have to have more discussion. So getting it done this year might be a little interesting, but to us, this is not a one-year deal. This is a long-term thing that has to be done. So you'll continue to hear from us in the future, even if it doesn't get all the way through this year.
Before our conversation, Ed, you said Wisconsin has a version of the ACRE Act already in place at the state level. Any anecdotal responses or feedback from Wisconsin's rural banks on how it's been successful or why it needs to pass at the national level?
It's a lot smaller version than what the federal version would be. But your state has already said we need this at the state level. It includes small businesses in Wisconsin. So from that level, we're seeing folks that want to have this happen. And, you know, dairy's always a tight industry. It's doing all right now, but you never know where that's going to go. So we have to make sure that, you know, this works across all industries. And in a state like Wisconsin with a lot of small dairy farms, there's always potential for bad times or tighter times. So we need to make sure that things like Acre are there to help them get through.
He says in the United States, 80% of banks have agriculture in their portfolio. Ed Elfman says that just underscores how big of an impact the Acre Act could have on rural America. Ed is the Senior Vice President of Agriculture and Rural Banking Policy for the American Bankers Association. They're pushing Congress to pass the Acre Act. It would give banks some tax relief on rural land, home, and aquaculture loans. In turn, it would lower interest rates for those customers. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894, making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess? This all happened first in Milwaukee. The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Buck, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Mandy Wilkie, the area manager for Stroll Ledgeview, will stop by.
And Ted Stefaniak from TV 32 Sports Showdown joins us to take a look at this week's high school football matchup. Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
As the details. Show, like you might be used to seeing a sheep show, but it's a evaluation where the sheep are exhibited. They're turned loose in a ring and evaluated by a national panel of three judges. Each of these judges focus on a separate trait or breed characteristic, and they are evaluating them against the breed perfection. And so they're trying to keep this a heritage breed. They're trying to keep it going. And so they are trying to breed for the absolute best traits in that breed. I also wanted to share one of my favorite events. The Crook and Whistle Stock Dog Trial is celebrating an anniversary year at the Wisconsin Sheep and Wolf Festival. Hedge says you do not want to miss it.
We have 125 dogs this year with 59 handlers, and actually this is their 20th year with us, so this is a milestone year. It's really exciting. Every
stock dog trainer has a different mode of communication. A lot of times they use these little whistles, and it's telling their dogs left, right, whatever. So there's a bunch of really ornery sheep. I swear, I joke, they get the most ornery ones each year. And the whole idea is that they're turned loose, and that shepherd needs to make sure their dog collects them all and gets them back into their pen in the shortest amount of time possible.
And I agree that that is a must-see. Hedge Becker is the festival coordinator with the Wisconsin Sheep and Wolf Festival. She says if the weather is good this year, they expect record attendance for the festival. You can find all the details at WisconsinSheepAndWolfFestival.com. Stu Muck is along with us this morning for our ag weather update. Stu, it looks like we could see some possible storms, but aside from that, it would be smooth sailing then into the weekend.
Yeah, the weekend looks really great. I have to comment, if my dog saw those sheep out of a pen, he'd say, if they want to be out, let them be out. I don't care.
But you would not do well in the trial.
No, that's a different dog, you know. Let's talk about what's shaped up here. Pretty nice day today, but some clouds, a little patchy fog this morning, and a cool front that's moving east in the Dakotas this morning, with a warm front that pulls up from the Dakotas down into Iowa, northern Illinois, and there is a little rain north of Mason City, north-central Iowa, south-central, almost southeast Minnesota. There's a small chance, even at La Crosse, just into western Wisconsin, that there could be an isolated shower or storm for a time this morning. Otherwise, I expect most of us will stay dry all day. And in fact, the next rain really shows up in northwest Minnesota, northeast North Dakota, right along that cool front down toward Nebraska. So expect to watch that front build east today. We'll have a pretty fair day, still warm, still a bit in the muggy side. But then that cool front approaches, and through the night, first in northwest Wisconsin tonight, oh, by midnight, if not earlier, the chance of rain will develop, and then will spread east and southeast through the state late tonight into the day Friday. Rain amounts in that quarter to about half-inch range to what I expect. There will be some heavier amounts because of thunderstorm development, but this system pulls through. Rain ends already Friday. A little cooler and drier for the weekend ahead for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, Labor Day. Sunny, dry conditions. In fact, a bit cooler than normal as we wrap up the weekend and get next week underway. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
The Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, it's been around for a while. Unfortunately, a lot of us don't think about it until the end of the year. Now is a good time for not only farmers, but also their seed suppliers, their agronomists, their crop consultants to think about it as well. Sean, a lot of people at first will be, well, it's just for bragging rights or maybe the money that is part of the reward. But it, from your perspective, it's about a whole lot more than that, right?
Yeah, Pam, what I really learned from the yield contest is that farmers are always trying innovative new technologies out there in the field. And what they can do then is basically see how they work in these smaller field situations, which is the yield contest. And that information then comes back to me and is relayed to farmers through our different work groups and through them, you know, just having those conversations at Corn Soy Expo. And what's really cool about that is we can see the diversity of ways that farmers can get to these high yields.
More details available now at wisoybean.org or coolbeans.info.
For our listeners, if you experience any of the rain that Stu is projecting for us in the next couple of days, let us know where you're seeing it. Let us know just how much. You can send us a text at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Stu, I wanted to ask you, though, is any of this going to be severe? I am seeing a few pop-up, you know, warnings for today and into tomorrow, but what are you seeing?
I think the wind might be one of the bigger problems we run into with some of these storms, and maybe some localized heavy rain, but stuff we can't be anything but ready for. I guess that's about all. A little patchy fog this morning, otherwise partly sunny skies, more clouds in the west. And like I said, along the Mississippi River, maybe a bit of a shower chance, a small chance for a time this morning, and otherwise a pretty fair summer day. Temps up in the low to mid 80s and winds out of the southeast 5 to 10. It's tonight that rain develops. by the mid part of the night or early evening, if you will, late evening in western Wisconsin, spreading east through the night. More clouds, only dropping back into the upper 60s. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10. That rain chance lingering tomorrow, ending in western Wisconsin early in the day, not ending till midday in the east. I'd expect some clearing skies behind all of this, still up in the upper 70s to about 80 or so. Winds will become northwest in the day tomorrow, 5 to 10. And then we get the weekend. Sunny on Saturday, upper 70s and low 80s. In the mid-70s with sunshine Sunday. Stephanie, that weekend does work out to be really great for all the outdoor plans.
And I can't wait to talk more about that with you tomorrow morning, Stu. A good weekend ahead once we get through some of these raindrops. Don't go anywhere. Ben Jarbo is taking us to the hemp plot. And did I mention we've got a giveaway coming up that you're not going to want to miss? Stay tuned.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Special Counsel Jack Smith submitted a revised criminal conspiracy indictment of former President Donald Trump on August 27th, adjusted to remove actions deemed official acts by the U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority. Like the original indictment, Trump is charged with four felony counts in the U.S. District Court in D.C. Conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of and an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights. Removed in this version are charges related to Trump's alleged manipulation of the U.S. Justice Department to pressure state officials to change the outcome of the election, which justices explicitly said was an official act. Alleged unofficial acts, however, are still included, including knowingly deceiving the American public about the outcome of the election, attempting to pressure Georgia officials to find 11,780 votes, knowledge and support of the fake elector scheme, the attempt to pressure Vice President Mike Pence in his constitutional role presiding over the certification, his speech at the privately funded rally prior to the Capitol violence on January 6th, and attempting to injure, oppress, threaten, and intimidate citizens' rights under the U.S. Constitution. No new trial date has been set, but it's no longer feasible to try the former president prior to the election. We have a link to the new indictment at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From the Lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The government this morning reports on spring quarter gross domestic product growth, how much the economy expanded.
The survey of economists by Dow Jones Newswires and the Wall Street Journal says today's report should show the economy grew at an annual pace of 2.2%, down from the 3.4% reading the quarter before. That would indicate the economy is slowing a bit, but consumers are still spending at a healthy rate.
ABC's Daria Albinger. A Las Vegas jury convicted former local politician Robert Tellis of murdering investigative journalist Jeff German, blaming him for his political demise. The jury sentenced Tellis to life in prison with parole possible after 20 years. January 6th insurrectionist Dan Edwin sentenced to 5 years in the penitentiary. Prosecutors say the Kentucky electrician communicated with other right-wing extremists while they were all assaulting the Capitol January 6th, 2021. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to revive President Joe Biden's latest student debt relief program. Under the plan, borrowers could pay back 5% of their income instead of 10. Lawsuits were filed after the plan was announced. The Supreme Court says some of those suits must be resolved in lower courts. And 15% of students in Wisconsin public schools get special education services, but school districts only get funding for 30% of expenses for their kids with disabilities. Teachers and administrators have long called this unfair. Deputy State School Superintendent Thomas McCarthy.
Reimbursing schools 30 cents on the dollar for an operation they're required to do is impactful in more ways than just serving kids with disabilities. In most districts, what they're doing is they're taking money out of their general budget and they're plowing it into special education budgets.
Work on the next state budget begins in the spring. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
A big inning leads to a big win in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. The Brewers used a 5-run fifth inning to win 5-3 over the San Francisco Giants Wednesday night. William Contreras hit a 2-run home run in the inning, while Freddy Peralta struck out 8 in 6 innings of work as Milwaukee climbed to 20 games over 500. The series finale is Thursday afternoon. The Green Bay Packers cut their roster down to 53 this week, including making some big decisions at kicker and running back. General Manager Brian Gutekunst said the roster's talent made it difficult to make cuts.
This is a really tough, you know, 3-4 days for everybody involved. It's not easy to go through this process and make these decisions, but more importantly, you got a lot of young men in there that have put a ton of work into this, and to kind of have to, you know, tell them you don't want to move on, but just by rules you have to, and so it's really tough.
The Packers open the season a week from tomorrow against the Eagles in Brazil. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Fancy Brian Kelly is my guest co-host for the first hour, and then we're joined by Paul Noonan talking sports, weather, and wine with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have a chance of scattered thunderstorms this afternoon into tonight with some locally heavy rain possible, half inch to an inch or more in spots. Otherwise, partly to mostly cloudy, muggy, 78 today, but it is going to get much better for the weekend. Much more comfortable, lots of sunshine right on through Labor Day. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. How we think about money can affect how we feel about ourselves, which is why I think it's worth reminding all of us that your net worth is not your self's worth. Your net worth, however much money you do or don't have, is not your self-worth. Money is not something to be worshipped, regardless of what the internet or social media tells us. And money is not something to be ignored. I mean, I've been there. I've not paid attention to my money. And let me tell you, that doesn't help either. Money is a tool. You can learn how to use it, how to make it work for you, how to take care of it, and how not to let it control your head or your heart through obsession or worry. We can all be good at managing our money. If I can do it, anyone can do it. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Depth, and then again, that experience.
Welcome back on a Thursday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. It turns out that August 29th is the day to wrap up any tasks that you may have been putting off. In the old Farmer's Almanac, there's about five projects that you should get done today. You'll have good luck doing them. I suppose it is the end of the month, and if you get it done now, then you can enjoy the weekend. I'll tell you a few that stood out to me. The old Farmer's Almanac says today is a good day to can, pickle, or make kraut. One of my coworkers who does a lot of work making radio commercials here in the building, Paul Blair, he found himself faced with like a big trash can size container of basil, and he just made a big batch of pesto. He graciously shared some with me. It was very good, and so that might inspire me to start canning salsa this week. We'll see. I might put that off a little more. Also on August 29th, it's a good day to buy animals. And maybe the Stockmanship and Stewardship event today in Lancaster can help you out with that. We'll talk more about it later in the hour. First, Ben Jarbo is taking us to the hemp plot.
Hemp is something that we are seeing more and more of in the U.S., but did you know that there are many different uses for it? I'm Ben Jarb with the Midwest Farm Report, and Philip Alberti, a research program manager for UW-Madison, gives details on the hemp trials they are conducting and what they are looking for in each of them.
Fiber plants themselves are typically grown with the intention of allowing them to grow, go to flower, and then we chop it with like a sickle mower, allow it to dry, bale it up, and send it for processing in the hopes that the fiber, baled up fiber, can be separated using a process called decortication, where we get two primary components. We get a bast fiber, which is traditionally what we think of with, you know, textiles, and then the inner core, the herd material, which is also another high value product from hemp, which can be used for many things, from construction to paper products. There's a lot of interesting things that can be done with both the bast and the herd materials. So that's the pipe dream. That's the we can grow it very well here. Our fields, our variety trials are evident of that. The question then becomes of processing. What can we do with this material once it's harvested? And that remains the challenge for any grower within the U.S. In many areas where processing is still being developed, but that is what we're trying to do here, is to grow a plant for biomass production, get high yields that can be used for both fiber and herd production, or fiber and herd processing and materials.
You were also telling me about the dual plants that you have, and those are to be used for both the flowering type and for this fiber?
Yeah, so it's called a dual purpose, and we have a trial very similar to our fiber variety trial, where we are looking to find which varieties can produce both grain and fiber the best. You know, can they produce both in a way that makes them both economically viable within a system where you can go in and harvest the grain in the fall and then also harvest the remaining fiber that is left in the field and use that in a suitable and productive way, profitable way. So there's a lot of potential there, but it's a challenge to grow hemp for a dual purpose. And so right now we're really trying to get good at growing it for either fiber or grain, and then seeing if we can get a value-added component out of those systems. So fiber, dual-purpose, and grain variety trials are all being conducted here. And for the grain trials, it's where we're really just looking at grain yield. That's really the sole purpose of that, where fiber yield as a value-added component is not necessarily looked at.
Final trial that you showed me here is the feral trial. Can you just explain that, just a brief explanation of what that is?
Yeah, so this particular part of our field at the research station is involving a feral or wild hemp, you know, often called ditchweed. It's actually part of a national collection effort being spearheaded in the Midwestern region by our lab and Shelby Ellis, Dr. Shelby Ellison, Dr. Adam Molaena, who have gone all over the Midwest, all over the country, really, to collect wild hemp, to grow it out, evaluate it, and then incorporate that into our germplasm repository, both here in the Midwest and also in Geneva, New York, for part of the national collections, which will be the future of hemp public breeding within the country, and maybe even in parts of the world, where we are looking to domesticate these seed sources and try to use this wild hemp that's been adapting in the wild for years and years, is adapted to our environment and our conditions, and try to find a way to incorporate that those elements into commercial lines. So another very cool thing where we're looking at the future of this plant, and something where the benefits may take a little while to really be seen, but something we're building towards is the future of the hemp breeding programs in the country.
Philip Alberti explaining the hemp research that they are conducting at the Arlington Research Site and what the plants can accomplish in the future. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
And Ben will be on the road again today, heading to Lancaster for that stockmanship and stewardship workshop. I'll have more details on that after the break.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Today is the second and final day of the Stockmanship and Stewardship Workshop in Lancaster. It's a pretty big deal for Wisconsin, as there are only about four of these events that happen every year across the nation. This is Wisconsin's first time hosting. Wisconsin Beef Council's Executive Director Tammy Vossen has the details.
Well, I think if you've never been to a cattle handling demonstration that is put on by Dr. Ron Gill and Kurt Pate, that would be the first and foremost session that really should pique your interest in attending. These guys do they'll do a shoot side demonstration and they'll work cattle in the ring. Just giving us a better idea on how we know how frustrating it can be at times when you're working cattle at home, trying to get them loaded up onto the trailer or whatnot. So using their natural instincts that our cattle exhibit and how we can think more in that frame of mind, Kurt and Ron do a fantastic job showing us how to improve those skills overall.
Ben Jarbo will be covering the event this morning. I promised a giveaway before our market report. We have a couple of extra pairs of tickets to a Packers watch party in Titletown. Now, here's what this party includes. With the tickets, you get to go to the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke's residence in Green Bay, right next to Lambeau Field on September 6th. That's where you'll get to watch the Packers take on the Eagles in Brazil. Also at this party is live music, some celebrity guests, and lots of food and drink. This party all goes to support the Wisconsin FFA. I only have a few pairs left. They run for about $100 a piece, but you can win a free pair right here. All you have to do, text me your name and email at 877-301-301. 877-301-3276. That's 877-301-3276. A free pair of tickets to the Green Bay Packers watch party in Titletown on September 6th to support the Wisconsin FFA. From Chicago, cash corn is trading up a penny at 366 and a quarter. December new crop corn up 0.75 cents at 391 and a half. Cash beans are up 9.25 cents at 967 and 3/4. November new crop beans up 7 3/4 at 984 and 3/4. The September class 3 milk contract is trading lower 11 cents at 2206 a hundredweight. The October contract down 3 cents at 2241 a hundredweight. Yesterday, we saw cheese give back the gains it saw earlier this week. Barrel cheese closed down 12.5 cents at 212 and a half. The 40-pound block cheese down 6.5 cents at 207 and a half. Ryan Yonkman joins us to round out the hour from EverEgg. Stay tuned.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
It all starts with a question more than 75 years ago. Can hauling a fishing pole to the water hole be made easier? Bob and Bill Johnson find an answer, and the very first multi-section bamboo fishing pole is created. It's 1948. The brothers' invention also leads to the launch of St. Croix Rod Company in Park Falls, and it becomes the talk of the state. So do you know which fish is considered the prize catch in Wisconsin? Is it northern pike, bluegill, or walleye? The answer coming up. The St. Croix Rod Company continues to call Park Falls home, but now operates what is considered the most advanced facility in the country. The company offers more than 800 award-winning rods and reels, still being created as the answer to every angler's fishing question. So which fish is the prized catch? Walleye.
Yeah.
It's challenging to catch, delicious to eat. And this is not the one that got away, but is one true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Travel Wisconsin's Logan Rogge, and director Sean Hannish joins the show to talk about his documentary, Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
In Class 3 milk prices, Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. That's what we do here in Wisconsin. And cheese also saw that lift to start the week. We are giving back some of these gains here this morning, but can you walk us through today's market environment and explain why we're seeing this momentum and how long it might last?
It's definitely been some fireworks here as of the last couple weeks. But I think the cool part is I think it's fairly easy to explain the why behind some of this and really – yeah, as we're talking to dairies, I'm like, you just kind of keep stacking these bullish events, bullish reports, bullish price action, you know, kind of week by week, day by day, almost, especially when you consider a week like last where we had a milk production report that certainly showcased we're still negative with a monster revision to June milk production by, I believe it was 0.8% revision. So you've got this continued storyline of, hey, U.S. milk supply is tight. And we are now walking into our busiest time of year in regards to our demand season really starts to kick into high gear between now and the next couple months as schools come back online, football starts, pizza season, Labor Day, all these things. So you, in a very basic form, have a supply, a tight supply, a supply bull, if you will, that's been running, now walking into the teeth of our demand season. And although demand's never been booming or great this year, it for the most part has been better than expected. I think there was a lot of expectations around poor demand. And I'd say a lot of poor demand ended up being okay demand. And you're doing that on the backside of what was really record exports through Q2, when we can all remember milk was not $23, but it was more like $15. So that time there definitely helped us clear some product and cleared it into a market where I think milk continues to surprise the industry, not only domestically but globally, and that U.S. milk production remains negative and likely to stay there for a while. We know our heifer inventories are tight. We are finishing up what's been a very hot summer. And then obviously on top of that, we've had the avian flu, which has really worked its way around the country to the dismay of many dairies. But, you know, hay has been a market factor in regards to the supply shortage. And then the very flip side, going back to the demand thing, we're not up here all on our own. We've got European prices making new highs for the year. They've got a butter price trading north of 380. They have a cheddar and mozzarella price that are starting to trade this 225 to 245 range. So we're not alone, which I think really helps give kind of some staying power, if you will, to some of these prices here domestically.
That was kind of my next question, is what is the staying power of this? Ryan, you said you expect tighter supply to continue, but on the demand side of things, was that going to continue? Can you look into your crystal ball and tell us how long we're going to enjoy these higher milk prices?
Well, most crystal balls are made to be broken, but I think the luxury right now of a U.S. dairyman is that we are walking into our busy season for demand domestic. And we're doing that on the backside of a market that's already tight. So my confidence, if you will, remains pretty strong here for the next 30 to 60 days. And that it's just really difficult in my eyes to forecast any major, major pullbacks when you can consider the time of year we're in, the European price action, and yes, the supply situation. Now you get past that and you start talking 2025, which the good news there is, markets continue to make new highs. That's been kind of doldrums out there up until here these last few weeks, where class three and class four have started to wake up. I think end users are starting to reach out across the curve. Because to your point, you know, we're trading 220 today and maybe Europe's 240. You go look out into Jan to June of next year, cheese is trading like $1.85. And although it's historically high priced for that time of year, that starts to look more and more appealing when you're paying 220 today. So we've started to see that activity pick up. I think the idea of milk being tight into next year is starting to become more of a realization. And so that curve is starting to move, but it's into that curve that even my crystal ball does not have confidence around. I know that price is going to be real when we get there, because these types of prices we know are the type of prices that can destruct demand. 220, 230 cheese has never been a sustainable price for a reason, right? You will kill demand. So as bullish or supportive as we might be in this near to short term, I think you get out in 2025, my crystal ball says, hey, up at these prices where dairies are starting to see solid profitability against, you know, what's getting to be fairly cheap grain, we have to be smart and we have to be hedged. But there are certainly, I think, scenarios where you could paint a pretty picture for 2025 if the supply situation stays tight.
When times are good, Ryan, do we need you, or what are the risk management action that people should take when they have maybe some flexibility or, you know, momentum to do so?
Look, anything can happen. We know that. So yes, in these markets at these levels, is the prudent thing to start managing risk and putting some of that risk away. I think absolutely. We've been really focused for the most part on option structures. Q4 right in front of us, you know, $20+ milk. That's kind of an easy no-brainer thing to do. You don't have to spend a lot of cash to set a floor. and see where this thing can go. But as you get into 25, this is where we're just now really starting to pick up our hedge activity. Because as I mentioned, it is making new highs. You can start setting floors in the low to mid 18s. On class four, it's a 20. Those are things I think a dairy should be prudent about, almost judicious. Have your marks. We need to start plugging away. I'd say between now and really the next 30 days, we have some big objectives to start really getting that first half hedged up. Because it is starting to give us a pretty good look whether you're bearish or bullish. I don't think it really matters. These price points work. The milk to feed relationship is good, and that's kind of our job, right? To try to manage gains when they're there. And if you can maintain the flexibility to the upside, I think that's great. I think it's a market. Ideally, you want that upside. Because again, we're living in a situation I don't think we've lived in a really long time, which is a supply tight market that can't respond the way we have done in other bull years where there's a lot of heifers to go around, because this year there is not.
Thank you, Ryan, for coming on this morning. Ryan Yonkman is the Vice President of Producer Services with EverEgg. He's easy to find online at ever.egg. That's EVER.AG. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and I'll catch you back here tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
With gene editing, the more you know, the better you feel about it. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Gene editing, not to be confused with genetic modification, is the process of trait development by making tweaks to existing genes. It's now used in both medicine and agriculture. And researchers from Arkansas, Florida, and Ohio recently learned how the public feels about it. Brandon McFadden is a professor at the University of Arkansas System Division of Agriculture and was one of the researchers doing the study. He says acceptance of the science had a lot to do with knowing more about it. But, says McFadden, that only works to a point.
For some people who are worried about the safety of these applications, really no amount of information will change their attitude. And so that's kind of worrisome that we have a proportion of the public who is concerned about this, and that concern is fine. But it doesn't seem like evidence, whether it be scientific studies or whether it be time without negative events, will change their opinion. I urge the public, before they form a strong opinion, either way, whether they think it's safe or not, to do some research and some reading to understand a little bit more about the topic.
McFadden says GMOs were successful for farmers, but that wasn't communicated early on to consumers. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview Donald Trump being in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and much more. We'll discuss it. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Mino and the Mayor.
We ate so much wild game. I mean, every Sunday was rabbit, partridge, fish, venison.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that was not believable at all.
We did not do that.
Cool.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Derek Dennis, U.S. National